We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we meditate upon an extremely precious verse which you've given us. And we pray that in your grace and love and mercy, you would bring us to the marriage altar at the last day, that what is written here of the bride applies to us also. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16, the bride speaks. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. To kind of set the stage a little bit. So far in chapter 4 of Song of Solomon, the bridegroom has been doing the talking, and he has been speaking to his bride. He has praised her up and down. His heart is filled with love for her. In the opening verse of the chapter, the bridegroom says to her, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." And then in verse 7 of the same chapter, he says, "Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." The common theme of the chapter then would be the flawless beauty of the bride. Now, in the final verse of the chapter, we hear the bride responding. Her words are, in effect, a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And she begins by speaking of the north wind and the south, which brings us to the mystery of the winds. There is a mystery surrounding the wind in God's creation. The truth of the matter is there is nothing in all nature that is more a type of the Holy Spirit than is the wind. And the Holy Spirit is intimately connected with the rebirth of every elect child of God, which rebirth is called the first resurrection. Think of the mysterious night scene recorded in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. And here the Holy Spirit means more than the fact that the moon was out and the stars were sparkling in the night sky. That was true. But the fact of the matter was that the soul of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, was enveloped in the darkness of night. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know," this is the Pharisee talking, "we know, we Pharisees, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." How do they know that? "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." So the Pharisees were off to a good start. The fact of the matter is, however, that they also ended up in total darkness. Because in the latter part of Christ's life, after he had added even more to the miracles than what the Pharisees had seen when Nicodemus came, they said, "He doeth these miracles by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. He's an imposter. He's not who he says he is. He's a member of the devil's kingdom." That's how they ended up. Jesus answered and said unto him, him is Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee. And when you have these words spoken by the Son of God, verily, verily, I say unto thee, something extremely powerful always follows. And here it is this. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, and here comes a blockbuster again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Throughout Scripture, water is a type of the Word. The Holy Spirit works through the Word. And except a man be born of the water of the Word and of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, here comes verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it pleases, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, capital S. What you don't see in the translation is that the Greek word for wind in this verse is exactly the same as the Greek word for spirit. They're interchangeable. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there because you see what it does. You hear the sound of it, and you see what it does. But you can't see it. When the enemy asked him when the kingdom of God should come, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You can't see it. Neither shall they say, lo here, nor lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, the Holy Spirit dwelling within your heart. But here, spoken to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? You're a seminary professor, and you don't even know the basics? The truth of the matter is that, even physically speaking, battles have been won or lost because of the wind. In the King James translation, the word wind occurs some 123 times. Just a few examples. Genesis 1, verse 8. And God remembered Noah and everything living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The wind here was giving life to everyone that was in the ark, Noah and all the animals, and the waters left the earth. Genesis 41, verse 6, and behold, seven thin ears and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. The wind can destroy also. Exodus 10:13, Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night, And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Exodus 10, verse 19. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. On the seashore again, Exodus 14, 21, Moses stretched forth out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. And all that night, and he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Exodus 15, verse 10, part of the victory song, Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Every time the wind blows, it's thy wind, O Lord, thy wind. Psalm 18, verse 10, And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Interesting. Psalm 1, verse 4, The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Depart from me, ye cursed. The wind driveth away. Psalm 48, verse 7. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. A powerful fleet from Tarshish, wiped out by the powerful east wind. Psalm 78, verse 26, He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. Psalm 104, verse 3, Who layeth the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. And we're just scratching the surface, but how can we stop without going to Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, the Holy Spirit connecting with the wind. There is nothing in all creation that is a better type of the Holy Spirit than the mysterious wind. The bride here prays specifically for the north wind and the south. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. There's an interesting fact here. Of the 123 times that the word wind occurs in the King James translation, this is the only time that it occurs in the Song of Solomon. And there's a reason for this. Once again, we are standing at the marriage altar, at the last day, and the bride has been filled with the Holy Spirit. And now she prays for the Spirit, using the word wind, which, as we've mentioned, is the same word in the Hebrew as Spirit. Sometimes the north wind is spoken of as a thing of judgment. Here it's quite different. Think of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain. It clears the sky. Think of Ecclesiastes 1, verse 6, mentions of it again. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. Scientists tell us that the study of wind is one of the most mysterious things in all creation. South wind, living in our area of God's country, we certainly can relate to this. Job 37, verse 17, how thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. And you think of heavy, heavy storm falls that have come to the earth, sent by the Lord. Behold, he saith unto the snow, be thou on the earth. And you've got these heavy winter storms, but when you walk out in the springtime, there's a gentle breeze fleeting in from the south, and it warms your jacket. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Psalm 78:26 mentions the east wind again and the south wind. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. Savior said in Luke 12:55, when ye see the south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat. It's going to be a warm day, and it cometh to pass. The word awake, which is the bride's first word in this prayer to the Holy Spirit, occurs 80 times in the King James translation. First occurrence is Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, awaketh her nest, same word. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Victory song of Deborah and Barak, Judges 5, verse 12. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive. Again, used of a tremendous victory over Satan and his wicked ones. The bride continues as she prays to the Holy Spirit in the form of the north wind and the south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Notice the terminology, my garden. At the end of the verse, she's going to call it his garden. In Palestine, those who are acquainted with the weather there tell us that generally the east wind brings forth a withering and stormy type of weather. And little wonder, to the east of Palestine, there is a humongous desert. And when the desert wind blows in from the east, it's called the Sirocco. A field that is green in the morning will be withered brown by nightfall. That's the power of the east wind. West wind brings in the clouds of rain from the sea. The sea is to the west of the Holy Land, and it brings rain, dark, damp air. The north wind in Palestine is often cooling and refreshing, the power of it being broken by the mountain chain of Lebanon, which it crosses. It's cooling, it's refreshing. The south wind, though hot, has its heat mitigated by the upland regions, and it never brings a storm. The fact of the matter is that often in Palestine, it was the north wind that brought clear weather. And I think this is what we're getting at, what the bride is getting back here, not so much judgment, which sometimes the north wind does forecast, but here it's bringing clear weather, driving away the wind and the clouds. We quoted Proverbs 25:23 before. Here it is again. The north wind driveth away rain. Job 37:22, fair wind, fair weather cometh out of the north. Though cold and nipping, the north wind is a very wholesome wind that blows. It clears the skies in the Holy Land. The bride here calls for the north wind so that all the clouds may be swept away and the sky cleared. She calls for the south wind, which is a gentle influence that ripens the fruits of her garden and brings forth the fragrance of the flowers that are growing there. This garden, by the way, is more beautiful than the Garden of Eden ever was, even before the dreadful fall into sin. Christ has restored much, much more than Adam lost. And the hymn writer had it right. In him, the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. That's why it was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by the way. Now she's talking about her garden again, and she says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. This is her attitude here. What belongs to her also belongs to him. And it all came from him in the first place. And she realizes that. His garden, his pleasant fruits. So when a child of God does good works, we do these good works not so much to our own satisfaction. We do it for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. That's the only proper motive for doing good works. There is no chapter, I don't believe, in all of Holy Scripture that shows the power of the Holy Spirit more than Ezekiel chapter 37. And that's one of the reasons why the verse we're looking at here in the Song of Solomon is so precious for us. Because this is going to be your condition and mine by nature. And it's almost, we look at this and we say, how can these things be? How can I be brought to the marriage altar as a perfect bride for the Son of God in all of his glory? And he looks at me and says, thou art fair, my love. There is no fault in thee, no flaw in thee. How can such things be? And the answer is, the Holy Spirit does it. The Holy Spirit does it. Listen to the terrible scene as it's described in the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. A battle had been fought between two armies here. There was a victorious army, and there was an army that was sent down into defeat. And the vultures had done their work. The sun had finished up and bleached the bones as dry as you could get. And now Ezekiel was standing in the middle of this valley of dry bones. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I think he wanted to say, no way, it can't happen. But he's talking, and the Lord is talking to him here, the Lord God, who created all things out of nothing. So the prophet answers, I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know the answer to that. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Well, this didn't make any sense at all. You're going to be preaching to a bunch of dry bones? Why do it? It's all hopeless. Why you do it? Because God told you to do it. That's why. So put your reason under Holy Scripture. And even though you think it's impossible for anything to happen, you do this because God said so. Thus saith the Lord. There was a promise that went with this. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what I'm saying. The power is in the word. And even though the bones seem dead, the Holy Spirit can work. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. I'll undo what the vultures did. And will bring up flesh upon you. And cover you with skin. And put breath in you. And ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. It must have been a loud, loud happening out here. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in him. They were like Adam before the Lord God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And now the Holy Spirit's going to do that to these bones. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind. And then remember now, wind and spirit are the same words in the Hebrew. The same word. We could say spirit. Could. Translate it either way. Say unto these bones that are the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy unto them and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. We're standing right here now at the same place where the bride is standing, where we're at in Song of Solomon. Same thing. Talk about the last day. I will open your graves. I will cause you to come out of your graves. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. So this valley of dry bones, when Ezekiel preached to him, the Spirit came into them. And they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Okay. Now after that comes the breath of life. I will bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. That should be capitalized. It could be. It's the same word as wind. I will put my wind or my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. An amazing happening. To kind of wrap things up a little bit, the bride here calls for the north wind, that all the clouds and the rain may be swept away and the sky may be cleared. And she calls for the south wind, that its influence might ripen the fruits of his garden and draw forth the fragrance of flowers. There's an amazing thing in the languages here, and the amazing thing is this, that in the Hebrew language, which we've been talking about, and also in the Greek language, and also in the Latin language, the words for wind and spirit are exactly the same. This is an amazing fact. All the good fruits, like the wind, are brought out of God's treasures and they are fulfilling his word. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 13. Listen carefully. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. That's Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 13. Now listen carefully to Jeremiah 51, verse 16. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Did that verse sound familiar to you? It's the same verse as in Jeremiah 10, verse 13. It's a double shot. And when the Holy Spirit gives us a double shot, that is extra added significance here, that what he says is going to take place. And what he says here is the absolute truth. God only has to say it once for it to be true. But when God goes the extra mile and says it twice, we can be exceedingly sure of it. And finally, when we stand at the valley of dry bones and it all looks so desolate and so hopeless, and then the Lord says to the bride, can these bones live? And we don't say, how can these things be? We know how they can be. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the one that's greater in us is the Holy Spirit. And so this very precious, precious, precious verse assures us of this blessed truth. There is no such thing as bad weather in the life of the bride of Jesus Christ. There are only different kinds of good weather.